when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, dear Blood River Aerial family, thank you so very much for hanging out. I'm really enjoying this show. We have an incredible mixture of personalities and ages. We have a fellow on here. I won't ask Paul how old he is. I know he's not a lady, but he might not want to say how old he is. But I'm 79 years old. And listen, we have a fellow here younger than my grandson. He's 21 years old. His name is Isaiah. And I wanted him to sit in. I was so impressed with him. I wanted him to come in and listen to Paul. Paul, I wanted him to listen to you and benefit from your wisdom, your experience. Paul has been in, I don't know, Paul, how long have you been doing this, Paul? And how many demonstrations? You told me one day about a week ago how many demonstrations, active operations you have been involved in. So what have you been doing? This is 68?
Well, since COVID came in 2020, I've been to about 155 different freedom rallies in probably 30 cities in two provinces, British Columbia and Ontario.
Bob, I'll tell you, you're the Lion of Canada, that's for dang, I'm sure. But Paul, well, like I said, we have a fellow in. He's we're giving him an OJT, so to speak. I want him to listen to you. And maybe he can ask you a question or two when we get going. He's going to be coming on regular some of the first, especially the first hour. I met these young guys down at Wetumpka. I rode down to Wetumpka, Alabama, me and James Edwards, and we went down there with his son. I think his son stole the show, 11-year-old Henry. So impressed with little Henry. How could you not love little Henry? I mean, he said that. We stayed in one building down there for 13 hours, Paul. We broadcast 6 hours of live radio with Tumpka. It took a lot longer than, yeah, we had to set up our equipment. It was hotter than hell down there. I think it got like 103 down there one day. And the kid never complained. He never did. I wish we had time to expand upon our trip into Montgomery, Alabama. On the way home from Wetumpka, Alabama, we had, just in case people are just tuning in, we had the League of the South was invited down there. The old League of the Southers, so now it's the Southern Nationalist Organization, led by Dr. Hill. We were all invited down. I'm a former League of the South member, Charlottesville veteran, you might say, with Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs, et cetera. But we were invited down there to Wetumpka, Alabama. Rode down there with James and his precious son, Henry. I love that kid. I'm going to try to take him hunting if his mother will let me do it. We met all the League of the South guys down there. Michael Tubbs got married down there. I had no clue. All the old guys were down there. Brad Griffin, just too many of the name. But I think we accomplished our mission in healing old wounds, rebuilding old bridges. I think we did really good there. But anyway, what are you going to cover tonight, Paul? It's what are we going to do?
Well, there's all sorts of things. I have a fond memory of Montgomery, Alabama. There was a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting down there early in the 2000s. I'm not sure if it was in Montgomery or nearby, but I recall a carload of us during a break driving over to the Southern Poverty Law Center and having an impromptu demonstration out in front of it, denouncing them as scumbags.
You know, we have Isaiah out here, and since you mentioned going to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Isaiah, very quickly, tell us what you and your how many of you guys went. Paul, he's going to tell you something. Isaiah knows a little bit about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Go ahead, Isaiah. Tell them what you guys did.
All right. So what we did after, I believe it was the second day of the conference, we went over to the capital of Montgomery, and then we had a little demonstration to show our grievances towards the current regime, the American Empire, and that that we offered a solution to anyone that listened there. And I was proud to stand there in front of my fellow black shirts giving that speech that day. I know that there's someone recorded. I believe I handed you, Eddie, a sample of that.
Yes.
That's taking the war to the enemy.
Absolutely.
Very much
absolutely.
So.
You know, I wanted to go in there with them. I was going to see if James could run Blood River Radio. Dr. Hill was getting ready to speak. Matter of fact, we had a hard time. We had to work to get my computer going. The wires, the things, Paul, I use every day. One particular wire, for some whatever reason, I used it just last week. We got down there and it wouldn't work. Just thank by the grace of God, I had a spare wire. It's very fragile, and I didn't even remember having it. But hadn't been for that one little wire, we'd had to done it on the phone. I couldn't have done it. I don't think the wire. In fact, James has a different computer now, so his stuff would not have worked on mine. But anyway, speaking of demonstrations and things, Paul, what's been going on lately? Anything special you'd like to cover tonight? And what have you been doing recently in the last week or so?
Well, I'm running for mayor of the city I live in, Hamilton, Ontario. It's a city of about 560,000 people. So I've been organizing events that we're going to have once the campaign gets rolling after Labor Day. I attended a meeting of a taxpayers group on Thursday and made some new friends and passed out some literature. And I was at a freedom rally this afternoon. We've got freedom groups that have rallies quite regularly. And this one is about 70 miles from where I live, and I went and met the folks there, and even was given a couple of contributions toward the campaign, which is kind of nice. So lots of activity. I went through several small towns in small town southern Ontario that I've known for years. And it's really depressing. Everywhere you go, there are large numbers of Indians. I mean, East Indians, not Tonto. And it's an absolute invasion of our country. I was outside this classic small town city hall right near where the protest was in Shelburne, Ontario. And the first thing I saw when I got out of my car was about a half dozen people with turbans on. I don't think they live there, but we are absolutely being invaded. And when you change the population, when you bring in a third world population, eventually you'll end up with a third world country. We have been utterly, totally betrayed from the very top. You know, we didn't lose a war. We weren't invaded by the winners in a battle on the battlefields. This was treason, just soul rotten, cancerous treason from the very top. And I hope history will absolutely drown in doo doo the people who did this. And they're our own people, you know. Except for a certain minority, but a lot of the people that signed on to this and promoted. Are as white and European as you and I are, Eddie.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. I saw a YouTube today video. It's incredible. They had this Islamic. She had her, you know, her burqa and all that crap on. Get this. She was from, I'll say Chad. I don't remember the exact African country. But she had left her country because she said she was under political persecution. She had been hungry. She was needed medical care, all this stuff. Well, the Canadian government gave her refuge. And listen, I hear the music. When we come back, I hear the announcement. After we come back to this break, I'm going to finish telling you about this. You're going to be shocked what she did. She's in Canada. Be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Get about 90 seconds. Thank you, Jeremiah.
Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. With that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Bless him. He's been in this, been a defender of white people, global populace for since the 60s. He really has. He's paid the price too. I think he lost his job at one time for being an activist, and we have him on. We have the young Isaiah. Isaiah, 21 years old, a member of Southland organization, and we had him on first hour with two of his other fellow soldiers. But anyway, Paul, before I go back to you, I finished telling you this story. I was watching this video about getting ready for having you on because you're from Canada. They had this black owned, she had her decked out with her burqa and all that crap. And they're talking about how she was a refugee from this, I forgot the country, I'm just saying Chad. They're all the same to me. But she was in Canada. She was a political refugee. She had all this horrible treatment in her country. But she was being treated well in Canada, but that wasn't good enough. Paul, she said she was going to protesting a Canada Day rally. She was protesting the people having a meeting honoring Canada, and they were protesting, people saying they were Canadian, they were proud to be Canadians. She's protesting all that, she said, because the Canadian government was oppressing her, but yet they brought her black ass over to Canada and given her three hots in a cot, better medical care than you could get, better medical care than I could get, I mean, it's just so absurd. But I thought about you immediately when I saw that. But you said you had something you wanted to tell too, Paul. So go ahead, Paul.
You know, if we were led by real men, her black ass would be flying across the Atlantic at warp speed. How dare you? I remember that plaintive voice of Mary Tyler Moore in the old Dick Van Dyke show when he did something wacky. How dare you? I'm sorry, I've got it wrong. That's Greta Thunberg, but it's a good line. How dare this this creature that received our charity have a protest against us on our national holiday? Go back to Chad or whatever hellhole you came from. No, the black story I wanted to share with you is about an individual named Jason Arday. Now, this is an excellent example of the corruption of diversity, equity, and inclusion. He was a star professor, in quotation marks, at Cambridge University, which is one of the most prestigious universities in the United Kingdom and in the world. But they'd fallen for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Anyway, up to about a month ago, you would have heard that Jason Arday, at age 37, was the youngest full black professor in Cambridge's history, and what a series of achievements. And he had a personal story, a personal biography that would just tug at your heartstrings. Apparently he was autistic and didn't speak till he was, I think, 11, but he came along right smartly and got into Cambridge and became a professor, and he raised all sorts of money for this and that charity, and he'd walked the entire length of the United Kingdom, which is, I think, about 630 miles from John O'Groats at the tip of Scotland to Land's End at the tip of Cornwall. Anyway, every bit of this was bullshit. They had hired, it turned out he everything began to unravel when it turned out, just like Martin Luther King, he plagiarized his PhD thesis. He wasn't some great genius. And there's reason to believe he was never autistic. These fools fell for it because they want to believe that blacks are equal and they want diversity. We just can't have a faculty full of whites and the odd Oriental. It's got to be more and more non-white. So if he could market himself as an achiever, and apparently he was good at the BS, they fell for it. They did no checking. And as they began to go over his long list of superhuman achievements, they began to fall apart. I mean, you couldn't walk 630 miles in 6 days. I mean, you couldn't, even if you had roller skates on. He had done something or other. He'd been on some sort of program. Well, it hadn't even existed in the year he said it was on, and so on. And the charity didn't exist. There were big chunks of doo doo all over the face of the administration, and he fired his. I'm sorry, he quit in disgrace, and he offed himself this week apparently. The real shame is on a prestigious university falling for this because they're blinded by their own anti-white self-hatred. To some extent, they got their comeuppance. Look, you've got this, this too good to be true person whom you've given full tenure to, way ahead of when most academics would get it, and it turned out you people had been conned, and you deserve it.
These self-haters, these woke people, they, you know what, as a group, they just completely deny reality. They want the world to be like they envision. They can't accept the world like it is. You know what, Paul, in Isaiah, it's been my experience. Most of them, you just cannot get through to them. You just cannot penetrate like a wall of irreality that they have. I've tried reason and logic just not work. Just could not work. But you know, Isaiah, you've been hanging on a long time. You have any questions that you would like to, Isaiah, the 21-year-old Isaiah, would you any questions you'd like to ask Paul about to get the benefit of his wisdom and experience that comes from a lot? He's been doing this for way before you were born. So if there are any questions you have that you'd like to ask Paul, Isaiah?
Of course. I believe I asked this very same question to David Duke, and that question being, what do you see as essential for our struggle to survive our race, to preserve and to advance our race?
Well, we have to, I think the biggest challenge is to regenerate white pride. We've got to make people proud of who they are. That is one of the diabolical things that's been done to our people since the Second World War. People hate themselves. We've been fed a completely lying history about ourselves, that we're villains. We've enslaved people. We rape the environment, and so on and so on. We've got to make people proud. And I think once people are proud, two more things will happen. They'll want to have children, because we're not going to survive if we don't have children. And if we're proud, we will build communities where we help each other. And once we have that, we'll have white power. But I believe it really begins with white pride. We have to undo the damage that's been done to so many of our people, that has basically put them in the position of a lot of people my generation that I know of, who are they're fairly comfortable, and they're just happily sliding into oblivion. No thought about helping to preserve our race. Well, you know, we're pretty rotten. Not really worth preserving, but I'm all right, Jack, and I'll just sort of stay comfortable until I pass away. One of my good backers years ago, a very wealthy man in British Columbia, he as much as told me that. Now, he didn't hate himself, but he had not passed on those values to his family. And the day he died, I got a note back from the widow not to send the newsletters to the address anymore. He has utterly failed pass on his values to his family, and he was able to live a nice life quite comfortably because he was very wealthy, and he did share his wealth with people in the movement. You know, he supported a number of great groups. But I always thought, you know, that was really sad. The biggest task we have, I think, is engendering white pride, especially in the young people, because they're the ones who are going to have to carry the ball down the football field. And I see that now mostly in young white men in Canada. A lot are very disillusioned. They see they're being betrayed. They see they're being passed over for jobs in favor of any minority.
We have to go to a break. We have to go to our bottom of the hour break. Hate to have to interrupt you. We'll go right back to you soon. Come back to this break. Be right back, folks. Got about 4 minutes.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. The U.S. is imposing 50% tariffs on $20 billion worth of Canadian products.
Canada says it will immediately retaliate after the U.S. imposed 50% tariffs on $20 billion worth of Canadian products. Last-ditch negotiations between the U.S. and Canada failed to resolve the latest strain in relations between the historic allies. Prime Minister Mark Carney says in a statement, Canada will match those tariffs dollar for dollar to protect our workers and businesses. Canada wanted concessions on tariffs on steel, aluminum, autos, and lumber that a senior Trump administration official said Washington was not willing to provide. Donna Warder, Washington.
The Pentagon says at least 757 service members have been wounded since the war began against Iran.
More than 580 are Army soldiers. The total injured also include 86 sailors, 64 airmen, and 19 Marines. While many of the casualties are categorized as having occurred during Operation Epic Fury, the Pentagon has created a new category for wounded troops, saying that Operation Epic Fury has concluded. The Pentagon and U.S. Central Command have offered almost no details on how the injuries occurred. However, officials say that the vast majority of those injuries are traumatic brain injuries. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
New CDC figures highlighted by the Trump White House show a sharp decline in overdose deaths in 2025. Supporters say the numbers prove President Trump's border and cartel crackdown is saving lives. Synthetic opioid deaths fell 22% from nearly 49,000 in 2024. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Larry Elder here. When it comes to supplements, two things matter most: that it works and that you can trust it. Rather than just tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every single day whose lives have changed, and we'd like you to hear a few of their stories as well. Jim ran out of Relief Factor twice, and both times his aches, stiffness, and pain came back. Once he restarted it, he says he felt better again. As Jim puts it, you know something's working when you run out of it. I take Relief Factor every single morning for my back issues. I know exactly what Jim is talking about. Now, they make it easy for you to find out if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor helped you tackle your daily aches and pain. 3 weeks for just $17.76. Simply go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. You'll connect with our friendly local team, and they will do everything they can to help. We hope you'll soon be sharing your story with us as well. 800-4-RELIEF, ReliefFactor.com.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epic Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Dear Bloodfruit Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. We were just talking that me and Sister Monica Schaefer and Paul, too, we used to say we always have this great rhetoric during the commercials. I only wish our people, our Bloodfruit Radio family, could hear it. But I was asking Paul and Isaiah, we were talking about the Frankfurt School, and when the Frankfurt School came over here, our man Adolf Hitler, probably the greatest white man we've had in the past 200 years. He was. I think he was up there with Robert E. Lee, if not even better. I don't know, but he faced more hatred, if it's possible, than Robert E. Lee did. But I was asking Paul and Jeremiah about the Frankfurt School. I asked him that, and Paul, I guess I might even skip the Frankfurt School. I tell you, here's what I'm gonna do. I'll ask Paul about the Frankfurt School, and then I got another question I wanted to ask the young Isaiah. So, Paul, what do you know about the old heads of the Frankfurt School? Is that the way that they get? Are they the ones that were responsible for getting in, worming their way into the institutions? They're talking about the Long March of the institutions. Are they the ones responsible? If we could put our finger on who is most responsible for the brainwashing, particularly our young, and I say young, I'd say less than 50, of having them turn into self-hater, hating themselves. Who is responsible for that, Paul? And what are their solutions? Is there any way we can turn that around? Go ahead, Paul.
They had a big role in it. The Frankfurt School were almost entirely Jews, and they gathered around the University of Frankfurt in Germany in the 20s. And they were scratching their balding heads to try to answer a question. Karl Marx had predicted that when war came, the workers would rise up and overthrow the kings and presidents or emperors or whatever, and there would be workers' solidarity forever. Well, when World War I came, that didn't happen. The German workers loyally rallied around the Kaiser, Gott mit uns, similarly in France and Britain and Russia. So a real scholar would say, well, look, maybe old furry face was wrong. But the Marxists can't do that. Marx couldn't be wrong. Well, things didn't turn out as he said they would. Well, the explanation is the workers didn't really understand their true interests. And they were confused because of three loyalties. Loyalty to their country or patriotism, loyalty to their religion, and loyalty to the family. So if the revolution is to come about, those loyalties must be undermined. And so the Frankfurt School was less about economics than it was about a program to undermine loyalty to your country, religion, and the family. And the feminist, one of the leading boom boxes for the feminist revolution was Betty Friedan, a New York Jewess. And she studied under the Frankfurt School. So modern white, man-hating feminism is the Frankfurt School and largely Jewish creation. The attack on patriotism, or on our traditions, which occurs in both the United States and Canada, You know, the founding fathers were mostly slave owners. So they're bad. And in Canada, we had the residential schools, which were actually to try to move Stone Age Indians from the Stone Age to the edge of the modern age in one generation. And so they were, in some areas, brought together into residential schools. Well, that's bad. So to undermine love of country, the Frankfurt School and their followers keep up a constant torrent of abuse. And in the United States, and to a certain extent in Canada, all the nonsense about slavery. I forget which person called it America's original sin. The original sin was already going on when the white man arrived, or as I believe, came back a second time, after Columbus. That's another story. The Native Indians, in many cases, practiced slavery. Slavery has been around through all of mankind's history. And we,
yes,
as Europeans, were the victims of horrible slavery and raids by the slavers from the Ottoman Empire. But the way it's being presented, it's a white thing. Whites practiced slavery, and oh, how terrible it was. Seldom mentioned is we abolished it, particularly the British abolished slavery. It still goes on in some parts of the world that are not white. But emanating from the Frankfurt School is the attack, is the whole LGBTQ revolution to undermine the family, to undermine that tradition that gives people a founding, a grounding in life. And they have been very successful. I see all sorts of institutions up here loudly proclaiming how pro-LGBTQ they are. One of the banks has a sign, as you see in every branch, 30 years of supporting LGBTQ pride, and we fund over 250 LGBTQ projects. There's a picture of soldiers in the Canadian Army, both male and female, holding up a big rainbow flag. And
it's pitiful.
I recently did an article rejecting God, embracing buggery. Because the chaplains of the Canadian Armed Forces are not supposed to mention the deity, and because services must be acceptable to atheists. I mean, it's bizarre. If you're an atheist, you don't pray. Why would you? There's no way to pray to. But somehow a religious ceremony has to be acceptable to them. This is mostly the doing of the Frankfurt School with the long-range view to undermine people's loyalty to religion, to their country, and to the family. And you know, if you have no loyalty to a family, or a religion, or a country, you're just a floating atom, and you can be easily led and exploited by anybody, and along come the Marxists who want to lead you into the revolution.
We'll be going to a break any minute, and then I would like to go back to Isaiah in a minute. But, during the communist revolution, it wasn't a Russian revolution, as you guys both know, but during the communist revolution, Russia created the Soviet Union. By 1924, it was a done deal. Lenin had a massive stroke in 1922, and And by the end of 1924, he was out. He died of, I think, of his third stroke. But point I'm getting to, when Stalin, Joseph Stalin, finally outmaneuvered those people and got into office. But believe it or not, I'm leaving to a point. He got these people in position. He got this guy named Lazar Kaganovich, if I'm pronouncing it right. And he put him in charge of what we know of today as the KGB, but before that it was the Cheka. But anyway, they went in, Paul, to and I'll go back to Isaiah after this before we come back to the break, to build on what you said. This Kaganovich guy went in, we've all heard of the Holodomor. They went in, there's the music, but we'll come back and like to talk about the Holodomor, how he wanted to completely exterminate national loyalty, religious loyalty, etc. You were just talking about that, Paul. I'll talk about that. We'll go back to Isaiah when we come back. People, this is our last break of the second hour. We'll be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on. I can't believe this second hour has gone so fast, but Paul did an excellent job of laying the groundwork for me and laying the groundwork for Isaiah, the young Isaiah. I'm so glad to have him in here. He's only 21 years old. I want him to be exposed to Paul. I mean, Paul has been around this battle for years and years and years. Me and Paul both have been doing this years, probably before Isaiah's mother was even born. But I wanted to get this mix in there. I wanted him to benefit from the great Paul, from his experience, et cetera. But anyway, Paul, I talked about the way Lazar Kaganovich destroyed the Ukraine. During the break, we talked about that. Hey, brought all the Holodomor, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to go into that anymore. I wanted to turn it over to you. Let you kind of carry the ball for a big part of this last segment here. Go ahead, Isaiah.
All right. To continue on from the previous topic, that being, of course, the Frankfurt School, I do believe I have something to offer the table that kind of fits into the theme, and that being my personal critique of Mark Hughes' theory of Eros, where he, alongside as much as along with the neo-Marxist as well as the neoconservative PragerU entities of today, is that his theory of Eros perceives that art of the old world, I'm specifically talking to pre-World War II Europe, that being the First World, and that how a lot of their art that was representative of both their people, their culture, their identity, their nature, their livelihoods, was seen by Marquis as an authoritarian entity. It was authoritarian in nature, and that it had to be deconstructed or subverted in some way. And that's why they promote this ugly, abstract form of art as a form of a political statement. And that the neo-Marxists see it as more of a revolutionary stance, of course. The PragerU entity see it as the removal of, quote, outdated beliefs. And, of course, the Jews, they see it as a form of just replacing and eradication of white culture.
Absolutely. You know, Monica Schaefer has talked about that that very concept. She said that, I guess in a more vernacular speech, she said that the Jews, these Jews have said, we're going to make their religion ugly. We're going to make their art ugly. We're going to, and you see that every day. I'm thinking right now a particular park called Martyrs Park in downtown Memphis. It's on the bank of the Mississippi River. On the way to the Mississippi River, when I ride my bicycle down through the heart of the young people call it the hood, I call it the slums, I ride through the black slums on the way to the Mississippi River, you see these new art projects, Paul and Isaiah, and it's ugly as crap. You can't figure out what the hell it is. This particular Martyrs Park in particular, on the banks of the Mississippi River, the reason they call it Martyrs Park, it's supposed to be honoring the people who stayed in Memphis during the yellow fever epidemic, and nurses, Catholic nuns, people that didn't leave. Memphis became like a ghost town during the, I think there was two big yellow fever epidemics. People were running for their lives. They didn't know what was killing all these thousands and thousands of people. But they built this this monument, and it's just, I can't figure out what it is, but it's just ugly as manure. It, the same way, there's other so-called pieces of art on the way to the park. I'm thinking about in part one of them in front of this gigantic, what used to be a housing complex. We used to call it, well, I won't say what we called it. It was a hatchery to bring more black people. But they have these artistic statues out there. You cannot figure out what the hell they are. It's just ugly as the damn mud fence. But you're exactly right. And that's been going on for a long time. And, that's what the Jews would tell you. They'll tell you, we're going to get rid, we want to eliminate a sense of national pride, a sense of ethnic identity and pride. If we want to eliminate a religion, a common religion amongst white people, we want to destroy them and make them into a mindless blob of organic matter, unable to resist us, the superior Jew. I hope I'm not rambling on too much there, but I've seen it, and getting back to what we've seen and to bring it up to modern times, we used to say here, I think I got the original quote from Dr. Hill. He said, first they come for the linen, our flags, then they come for the stone. We saw that. We saw that in New Orleans, Pikeville, Charlottesville. We've seen it here in Memphis where they came after the stone. They destroyed our Confederate flag. You can't have a Confederate battle flag here in Memphis without some bunch of niggs wanting to blow your brains out. We saw them when they destroyed the Nathan Bedford Forrest statue here in Memphis. We saw it in Charlottesville, all the other cities I just mentioned. You know, Jeremiah, do you see it getting any worse? What's your prediction of the future? Then we'll let Paul close it out. What's your prediction of the future? Is it going to get worse for white people here in the United States, especially the South, and all over the world? Paul is in Canada, but we have the same uniform. Your skin color is your uniform. So what's your prediction, real quick, Isaiah?
I believe that we are at the precipice of becoming a minority within our own borders, and that culturally speaking, especially with the merger of the IDF and a lot of other geopolitical factors that have reached into our nation, where we lack an identity, where we lack a worldview, where we lack a lot of the things that we once sought comfort in, whether that be media, family, or whatever, it's just that it's going to force a lot of people to either undergo a mental and spiritual transformation, or alternatively, they're just not going to last long. And I believe that a lot of white people have to make that choice for themselves, for their family, and for the collective of their people to undergo said transformation.
You know, Paul, and I'm sorry, I'll make this brief as I can. I'm going to let you close this out. During the communist revolution in Russia, which became the Soviet Union, we had two of the major parties were the Mensheviks and the Bolsheviks. The Mensheviks were more peaceful, in my opinion. They didn't want to an all-out violent revolution. They wanted to bring the communist form of they wanted a gentle revolution. And that's my words. They wanted to do it slowly, and they didn't want to shock the population. The Bolsheviks, in my opinion, and what I've read, they wanted it now. They wanted brutal, a brutal revolution, a violent revolution. And, you know, those two groups, Paul, the Bolsheviks won over. They were the violent ones. So, Paul, what is your vision of the future? How are we going to come out? And will the Mensheviks style of revolution work? In other words, is it going to be, are we going to solve this in a peaceful way, the way the Mensheviks wanted, or the Bolsheviks won out originally? What's your prediction for the future? Are we going to be able to salvage Canada, the United States, with the gigantic colored populations against us? And how are we going to do it, Paul? I hope that's not too big a question. I hope I'm not putting too much on your back.
Well, first of all, I somewhat disagree with you about what happened in Russia. The Mensheviks were, they wanted change. And they got it with the overthrow of the Tsar. But they weren't united as to what they wanted. You know, would it be democracy? Would it be this? Would it be that? The Bolsheviks were a much smaller minority, but they were united that they wanted a dictatorship where they would be in charge. So the organized, united people, and you're right, they were much more prone to violence, won out. The Mensheviks were kind of unfocused. They wanted reform, but they couldn't agree as to what type of reform. What's going to happen? Well, I challenge other white leaders, some of the ones I mentioned. We should be working out a program for our people when in America you become a minority, or we become a minority. Canada, if we continue on the same route, we will be a minority by 2050. What are we going to do then? What will our strategy be? I don't have a quick, easy answer, but these are questions we're going to have to confront. One thing that gives me a little bit of sadistic pleasure is the Jewish lobby largely was responsible for the Third World, the change in our immigration policy, because they so wanted to undermine the European majority, and they were so ungrateful for having been let into the country. The Third World majority is now turning on them. Muslims are outnumbered Jews 4-1, and numbers are everything. And
well, Paul, we've run completely out of time. I guess I waited too late to ask that question, but Paul and Isaiah, we have run completely out of time. You guys have done a great job. I just love you both to death. Love you, Paul. You consider your brother, and I'm really looking forward to having you back on. I'm really looking forward to having Isaiah back on. Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to transition to the third hour now. These two guys knocked it out of the park. We're going to bring on the bitter end of Gene Andrews. We're going to talk about Montgomery, Alabama, the significance there during the Confederacy, and all things Confederates. Be right back, folks. You got 4 minutes.